hold this.
You got it.
And I talk with my hands, so if I throw the microphone at you, that's a mistake. So we're going to talk about that. And I appreciate that Christina has talked to you about the wonderful speakers you're going to have in the future. I think that takes pressure off me because, you know, if you don't like what I'm saying, you can just look forward to the next time where you're going to have that wonderful speaker and say, you know, this is just a placeholder.
But so. Kim, you're big league. Oh, wait, I'm going to interrupt her. Fun fact, Kim Duhart is actually the very first person I asked to speak at Kindred. That's how much we wanted to have her, and she couldn't come last year. She was our first yes. So she's just really cool and busy, so we got her in February. But
it's
okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Christina. So I want to start with prayer, and then we'll get into the talk. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. I just want to praise you for who you are. You are more than we can ever understand. You're everything that we need, and yet you're patient with us. You help us when we need help. And so, Father, I pray that you will help me and that you will take away any of the thoughts that I wanted to present that you did not want presented, and that you'll give me anything that I did not understand that you wanted me to share with these ladies. I just pray that what I have to say will be helpful to someone or to many people, and more importantly, that you, Father, will open their hearts and you'll speak to their hearts through me, through their discussions, and that you'll bless this time that we'll have together. And then I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so today I'm not going to have any slides because, well, I don't concentrate very well. If I have to concentrate on my slides, that's what I'll concentrate on. I won't be present, so forgive me for not having a nice, wonderful presentation for you up there. But today I want to share some thoughts with you about God's grace when we make mistakes. Now, you know, the title, when I thought of the title, I thought, that just sounds like you came up with a little catchy, you know, it sounds kind of like it rhymes and what have you. But it does, but I actually am. I'm going to talk to you about God's grace through our mistakes and how that applies. And so I'm not talking about sin. I'm not going to even deal with sin. Sometimes our mistakes do involve sin. But I think that most of us understand, even if we don't believe it the way we might, or maybe we ought to, we understand that God's grace covers our sin. When we accepted Christ, we understood that. But what about the mistakes that we make that don't involve sin? So I'm going to give you the dictionary definition, and maybe that'll help you know where I'm going. The Cambridge Dictionary definition, which is the one I like, says that a mistake is an action, decision, or judgment that produces an unwanted or unintentional result. So if you can follow that, we have many of them every day. And so I want to talk about those, the mistakes that just happen when we don't plan well, when we aren't careful enough, when we overlook something important, or when we're just misinformed, or we're just uninformed, we use poor judgment, or when we're just tired or weak and unable to execute something the way we'd like to, or the way we should. And so the question is, does God's grace cover our mistakes too? Now, I read a an article by Ben Eatson. He's not famous. He's the pastor of a church in Erlanger, Kentucky. But he put the question in a way that I think it's very excellent. It's better than I could put it, so I'm going to quote him. He said, "Have you ever felt like this? Like there are things in your life that are completely your fault because you failed to pay attention to details. Plan ahead, save enough money, spend time with the right people, pursue the best opportunities, make the wisest choices, or just use common sense. Do you ever feel like God looks down on you and says, 'That one's on you,' as if he only cares about your sin and suffering, but not your oops moments? We often push our mistakes into a gray area outside of grace, where the blame rests entirely on our shoulders. And maybe it does, but we also carry with that a false sense of rejection and failure. In a twisted sort of way, we often feel better about our situation when we sin than when we just mess up. We think, 'Jesus died for my sin,' but we're not quite sure what Jesus did for our goose and screw-ups. The good thing is that Jesus died for these two. And I'm just here to tell you that Jesus did. Jesus died for our mistakes also. It's a good thing, too. None of us like our mistakes, but none of us are infallible. So it's inevitable that we're going to make mistakes, no matter how hard we try. And so we desperately need grace from God and from one another. And you know, as I prepare this, you know, I always ask God to give me something that's for one of you or many of you. But I understood that if he doesn't give a message to any of you, this was a message for me. Because I had to confront something that I've struggled with my entire life. So none of us like mistakes. And some people try to hide their mistakes. You know, they're angry about their mistakes. And some people feel pretty comfortable with their mistakes. But, you know, they don't really want to make them. But I'm a person, and maybe there's some people like you, like me here, who just focuses on mistakes. And I feel guilty about them. The smallest little mistake, I can ruminate about it endlessly, you know, on something really kind of minor. So like, did I cut the person off in traffic, you know, or why did I, you know, or did I speak too harshly to that person, or why did I forget to cook dinner? See, because I'm retired. And that's a thing that you could do. I know it doesn't sound like it, but, you know, one day you'll understand that. And, it really does happen. You know, then there are some bigger mistakes, slightly bigger, that I've made. Like when I, and this is how I saw it, how I inconvenienced someone by running into the back of their car on the Beltway during rush hour on my way to work. And my car was literally stuck underneath their car. They couldn't drive off until my car got removed. I felt really guilty about that. And I felt guilty about the, you know, thousands of people who were like behind us who couldn't get to work. And, you know, as I was standing on the Beltway hoping I wasn't going to get run over by traffic, you know, I also had that guilt. You know, I made a mistake that affects somebody else and all these other people. And it didn't help that the next day when I got to work, one of my coworkers said, "Oh, so that was you who caused me to be an hour late to work," you know. So other people don't help you with it, right, if you have this problem. But this is something that I need help with. I need grace. And so maybe there's some of you who are like that. And then there are other things. And I'm going to tell you some things from my experience because, you know, I don't know about your mistakes. So maybe these will, I hope some of these do not resonate with you. But I think about the time, some of them I just never will forget. So it was 35 years ago. I went to a shopping center with my 4-week-old baby and my mother. And I got out of the car, locked the door, and the baby, and the keys inside the car. Now, my mother was already outside of the car. But as soon as I realized that my keys were in the car, and the baby was in the car, he started screaming. As if he somehow knew that he was locked in the car. Well, I thought he did at the time. It felt to me like he was crying because he was locked in the car. Well, you guys know that he didn't know that he was locked in the car, but he's screaming. And it was 35 years ago. So we did not have cell phones then. So we could call someone. And, you know, I didn't have the little app that I could open up my car with. My purse was not in the car. It's an interesting situation. So I was frantic. And so I had to try to solve this, you know, take care of this mistake. Never occurred to me to pray about it. Never occurred to me that God would help me with this. So I did eventually decide that I could walk to a gas station, leave my mother with my son, and I did find someone who broke into my car and got my keys, and everything was fine. But I still remember this like it was, you know, yesterday. Nothing really horrible happened, but it was a situation, a mistake that was traumatic for me. That's what happened to me. It was a small mistake. But then there are bigger mistakes. And the bigger the mistake and the more pain it causes to us or to someone else, the harder it is to accept it. But if we seek the Lord when we fail, and we can find his grace at work in our mistakes. So I give you another story from my own life. And I find that when I want to speak or I'm going to speak, you know, I have insecurities about whether I'm speaking about something God wants me to speak about. But he is so faithful that it seems that he always gives me an example of just what it is that I think I should talk about the very day that I'm going to talk. So, or close by. So last night, as I was putting the finishing touches on this and trying to cut out stuff that it was going to take me over my 30-minute limit, I finished it up, and I went to bed, and, you know, I wear glasses. I need my glasses. And I realized I didn't know where my glasses were. So I panic. I'm looking for my glasses. How could I lose my glasses? I just got in the bed. And I never found my glasses, so I keep an extra pair, and, you know, I was going to come here with these funny-looking glasses that I don't like anymore, but I thought that that's what I was going to have to do, because I just couldn't find them, and I had to get a bed. But this morning, well, let me back up a little bit. If my husband is a servant. And if any of you interacted with him much, you probably, I mean, it's a very strong gift that he has. He serves people. He likes to do that. Now, because I'm his wife, you know, and maybe that's not my love language, but, yes. But you know, I serve him a lot, you know, because that's how it works. I do a lot of things for him. And I often think, he just doesn't serve me like he serves other people. You know, sometimes I'm like, well, why didn't he do things for me? He does things for me, but this is what I think, right? Because I'm a sinner. And so this morning, I was asleep, and I get this little tap on my shoulder. And the elders, I'll also say the elders are having a retreat today. And so he had to go to, you know, the farthest parts of the earth in Maryland, where they have this fancy house where they're going to get together well, it's not a fancy house, but it's a house where they're going to get together and have their retreat. And I knew he needed to leave early. But he taps me on the shoulder, he wakes me up. And he says to me, "Kim, I found your glasses." And I said, "Well, where were they?" because I'd already told him about how he needed to look on his side of the bed because they might be there and you might step on them in the morning. And if you step on them, then I'm going to be mad at you. I was very nice about it. You know, I was just, you know, I have to tell you, I was, you know, the model wife about it. But he wakes me up and he says, I found your glasses. And I think he found them on his side of the bed, of course, right? So I said, well, where did you find them? And he said, well, I found them under your desk. And I said, well, how did that happen? He said, well, I looked for your glasses and I found them. Now, what does this illustrate to me? I had to think that this is an example of God's grace through my mistake, because I had to pause and think, you know, see how he served you? He took the time out of a busy morning when he has to drive to Maryland. Well, we live in Maryland, but to where he had to drive. And he served you by finding your glasses. And so I had to think about and pause and thank him and thank God for a husband who would do that for me. Mm-hmm. So just another side story about how if we look for it, very, very often, God's grace, God shows us his grace through mistakes that we have made. Romans 8:28 tells us, for we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, when that says all, it means all. So all things, even our mistakes. So, but we often don't think of that. So when we make mistakes, we know that we can depend on the gospel of grace and ask Jesus to help us when we are in need. And the Bible has some good examples of Jesus helping with pretty, maybe unimportant mistakes. We know that he healed people and purged the temple, all of those things. But Jesus went to a wedding, and his mother was there. You guys know the story, the wedding in Cana. And they ran out of wine. Well, what does that have to do with the mistake? Well, somebody planned the wedding. And somebody was supposed to get enough wine for all the people who were coming, right? And even some people think that Mary might have had something to do with it because, you know, you're a guest at the wedding. Why do you know that they're running out of wine? So, you know, maybe she had something to do with this. But she comes to Jesus because she expects Jesus is going to help her. Not like me, right? She asked Jesus, she tells Jesus about this problem. And we know that he said, it's not my time yet. But, you know, Mary expected that Jesus would help with it. And he did. Jesus turned the water to wine, you know, because it would have been very embarrassing. You know, you run out of wine, the people have to leave. It looks bad for the bride and the groom, the family, the people who planned it and all that. And Jesus cared enough about that mistake that he helped them with that mistake, and he turned that water into wine. And then we have other examples, many examples, just another one. After Jesus fed the 4,000 plus people and he was going to the other side in the boat, he and the disciples get in the boat. Disciples get in the boat. They realize they only have one loaf of bread. Somebody made a mistake, right? They didn't, you know, they made a mistake. It wasn't a sin. It was a mistake. And, of course, they started arguing over whose fault it was, as we would often do. And Jesus, though, he had mercy on them. He didn't lecture them. Well, he sort of did mention that, you know, they didn't have enough faith. But he let them know that his grace was sufficient to cover for their weakness. And so we know, if we look hard enough, that Jesus doesn't think it's too much. to help us with our mistakes. We just need to learn the right way for us to the right way for us to look at it, and then we need to understand that in the proper way. So, what should we do when we've really messed up? We shouldn't engage in negative self-talk like we do, like I do. We shouldn't feel ashamed or punish ourselves. And rather, Hebrews 4:16 tells us we should approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, I know that might sound, me quoting that might sound strange to you, because we talk about that when, you know, we're in trouble and when, you know, we're sick or when we've sinned. But again, you know, it does seem a little odd, unusual for us to apply that to when we make a mistake. But the scripture doesn't really specify. It says we're in our time of need. So we have to know that all the time when we are in need, whether we think we're responsible for it, or someone else is responsible for it, we can go to God in our time of need. We approach his throne so that we can receive mercy. And it goes further to tell us that we can do that. Why? Because we have a high priest who has been we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And later it does say, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we focus on the sin part. But the verse also tells us, what it tells us is that he's lived like one of us. I don't know if he made mistakes. You know, he probably did in his humanity, but if he didn't, he experienced other people making mistakes. And so he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. And so we should look to him for help and recognize that he is not unconcerned and he is not judging us harshly, and that he is willing and anxious to help us. Yes, God's grace extends to our mistakes as much as to the outright sin we commit against him. He doesn't remove our mistakes as he doesn't, or the consequences necessarily, as he does not remove the consequences of our sin, but he can redeem our mistakes through his grace. And I think the example I gave you of what happened this morning, I think is an example of redeeming our mistakes through his grace. But I just want to talk a little bit about some of the ways that, in more general terms, that God redeems our mistakes through his grace. He uses our mistakes to teach us to depend on him if we understand that we can. So our mistakes show us our weaknesses, and they make us aware, or should make us aware, of our need to depend on God every moment of our lives. Our sins do that. We're aware of our sins. But we should, if we are aware of our weakness, then we know that we depend on God at all times. And when things are going well, we think we're just good, right? We're just good at doing it. We can do everything on our own. But when we make mistakes, we really feel our need for a savior and a protector. If we turn to God, our mistakes allow us to experience his mercy and grace and know that we can depend on him. So Isaiah 30:18 tells us something that we maybe didn't catch if we read it. It says, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. So God just doesn't say, oh, okay, I'll just come help you. Or, you know, because I have to, I'll do it. He longs for it. He wants to do it. And I don't know about you. I don't look at it that way. I feel like, you know, he just does it because I need it. And I don't see a loving God who's just, you know, looking for the chance to help me. And if our mistakes help us to understand that we have a Father who is just, you know, waiting for opportunities to help us, I think it's worthwhile to experience them. Psalms 145:8 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." He's a loving God. He's not rehashing every mistake we have. I mean, that's us, right? We that's what we do. And he's not looking down on us for all the ways we fall short. And again, in Lamentations we read, this is one of my favorite passages, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And it's comforting to me to know that. So another way that God can use our mistakes is to strengthen us. And so by God's grace, through our mistakes, we can see more clearly things that we need to avoid, that we fight against, or that we need to prepare for. And so this comes from learning from our mistakes. So we can learn from our mistakes. We are refined by God into something stronger, a stronger vessel. And so Psalm 66 says, "For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver." So if we have the right attitude, and if we submit our mistakes to God's grace, then he can use it to strengthen us. And in fact, you know, the verse that you chose for this year talks about this too. There's Paul. We know that Paul was talking about the thorn in his side. And he says, and he asked God to remove it. But he said that God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Well, our mistakes are the result of our weakness. So if we could just, if you just humor me and let me just substitute a word. We know that's, if I say my grace is sufficient for my power is made perfect in your mistakes. And then we can say that when I make mistakes, when I'm weak, I am strong. Then I am strong. So as Paul is telling us, his strength comes from the power of God that's made perfect in his weakness. Then we can look at our mistakes as just every mistake that we make as another opportunity for God to strengthen us, for his power to be made perfect. Another thing that our mistakes, another way that God can use our mistakes as an opportunity for grace is they can be a testimony. I told Christina I didn't have 30 minutes worth, but I guess I did.
Just giving you a signal.
It's okay. I'm almost done. It's a testimony to others, right? So we know that God gave us a scriptural record of mistakes that people made. Sometimes they were sin, but sometimes they were just mistakes. And we are encouraged when we read those because we learn from them, and we learn that they were able to move on. And many of them did great things. So we think of David, we think of Moses. And that's one thing I love about the Bible, you know, it presents the good and the bad. It shows their faults. It shows what they did well and what they did badly. And these mistakes help us to believe that God can redeem our mistakes. And the same thing is true for us. If we're transparent about our mistakes, God can use our mistakes as a testimony to point others to Jesus. And it, you know, not necessarily sin, just your mistakes. How we respond to our mistakes can also be a testimony to others, how God can redeem our mistakes and raise us up after we fall. So I want to share a quote by Kristen Dang, who I think sums up all of what I've said very beautifully. She says, "We will make mistakes, but God will use all of it for his glory and our good if we are willing to find his grace in our failure. Our mistakes are not our identity, but an opportunity to see a transformation of character, of heart, and of hope in God. They are an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to forgive, and an opportunity for testimony. So in our weaknesses, let us turn to God and hope in him." And in closing, I want to share with you, this is an excerpt from a children's book by Melissa Kruger, and it's entitled, His Grace is Enough, How God Makes It Right When We Got It Wrong. And in it she wrote, "My child, here's the truth. From God you can't hide. He sees what you've done. He knows what's inside. But please don't despair. There's good news, I say. Whatever you do, God's grace makes a way. Yes, his grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough, both for you and for me." So if you'll join me in prayer, I'd like to just pray for us again. Father, thank you for the time that you've given us to look at what your word teaches us about your grace.